All right, ladies, welcome to the first installment of the Venus Next podcast. I'm Brad Howard, and on the phone I've got John Barman with me. And today we're going to talk about cardio and diet for weight loss and basically just touch on things. We've got some questions that have come up in the forum so far, and I think that John really wants to nail this down for you and get some good answers for you.
Oh, okay. I guess you're throwing it over to me. All right, so yeah, the question of cardio, you know, how much cardio do I need to do? Do I need to do cardio for weight loss? Is, you know, some people are assuming it's just necessary and it's for weight loss. Again, let's right off the bat qualify. We're not talking about health or any of that stuff. We're just talking about, or at least perceived health. We're talking about weight loss. And you don't have to do cardio for weight loss. You can if you want. You can do cardio if you'd like, but it's not necessary. For weight loss, it's just calories in and calories out. Some amount of extra activity can contribute to the calories outside of that equation, but not to any significant degree, and you don't have to if you don't want to. Reducing calories in is always way easier than increasing calories out, just because there's so many things that constrain how many calories we can try to burn. Like, first of all, most of the time we overestimate how many calories we can even burn in a workout. Textbooks and cardio machines always overestimate it. So, you know, if you're on the treadmill for an hour and the machine says you burnt 400 calories, it's more likely you burnt like two. And that's just because there's inherent error with the way the machine calculates. Plus the equations they use to come up with those calculations are also have significant error in them. So that, you know, that's one of the factors. But then there's the issues of does extra working out, does it even fit into your day? Like, is it just cause more stress trying to get in an extra hour of cardio if you don't have the time? Most people can't do it every single day. So even if it does increase the amount of calories you can burn in a, you know, when you can get to it, most people just can't get to it 7 days a week. So a more effective strategy is always reducing your calories, which you can affect that all the time, not just, it's not as intermittent as trying to do more exercise on a constant basis. And the confusion here, and I guess this is, you know, Brad, you and I were just talking about this, the confusion with, you know, this assumption that cardio has something to do with weight loss, I think comes from what we were discussing about following rules versus actually understanding what's at the root of weight loss at all. So if we are going to, you know, if we have the assumption in our head that we somehow have to be doing cardio for weight loss, well, where'd you get that assumption? Where'd that even come from? And so that could be just a rule you've heard somewhere. Oh, you've got to do this many minutes of at the target heart rate range that burns fat and all that kind of stuff. But if you actually stop and think about, well, what does that actually do? And then if it really is just calories in, calories out, now you don't need to worry so much about the rule of weight of cardio for weight loss, and then you can just get down to the root of what actually causes weight loss and then start working at it that way. And maybe you could come up with a more effective strategy, which would be finding ways to eat less versus trying to constantly work out more. So,
right. Yeah, and it's more time efficient too. I mean, think about it. I mean, let's say if you're trying to eat more, well, number one, you've got the time in the day that you're actually eating more. And then you've got the time in the day that you're trying to burn all that off. I mean, that's an extra hour a day probably that just you could eliminate and do something else. and we're not even talking about it. Now, let's back up because, like you said, this is specifically for weight loss. Weight loss. If you like running and if you're a marathon runner and you're practicing for marathons or you like doing it for your health, keep on. We're not talking about that. We're not saying cardio is bad. We're saying just understand why you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're making no statement about your activity for the sake of doing it. Like, if you just enjoy the community of running or if you compete and stuff, or you don't even have to compete. If you just like doing that stuff, knock yourself out. Do as much as you can. I mean, we're built to move. The more activity, the better. It's just what do you think it's going to do for you? Exercise or activity that you engage in, even all your cardio activities, if their main benefit is purely the community of it or just, I don't know, the psychological feedback you get, that's more than enough reason to do it. I mean, there's plenty of research showing that that has benefit on its own. But if you're actually trying to lose weight, we're just saying don't try not to attribute more ability to your cardio to help you lose weight than it can. Like, it can't really cause weight loss on its own. Like, it's going to have a minimal effect at best. The real driving force to it is your ability to eat less calories, because it's just really, really hard to cause weight loss just from exercise.
Right. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I think what a lot of people really don't understand, and a lot of the questions we're getting in the forums about this, and it seems like a lot of the ladies are just kind of hung up on the fact that, you know, you've got the sides of this equation, and it's like people are assuming that it's A plus B equals C, or A minus, or A equals what you gain or lose equals the amount of activity you do minus, you know, the amount of calories you eat, which is inherently kind of a rough estimate, because technically there are no independent variables. You know, we've talked about
they're all dependent. You pull on one string. Yeah, all of it. You can't just keep exercising more without it eventually affecting your desire to eat, or your you'll just find ways to conserve energy elsewhere in the day. You may sleep a bit longer. You may be less active during the day. Your body kind of is functioning on a homeostatic basis. It's going to try to come back down to baseline neutral all the time. So you can only push it so far in either direction. So you can only undereat so far, and you can only exercise so much more. So it's kind of, you can chip away at it on both sides a little bit, but you can't just go nuts on either side.
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting. You brought something up the other day when we were talking. I was driving down the road, and just basically the concept of everybody, like, your body is built to, like, all your hunger mechanisms and things like that. You're basically built to eat to energy expenditure, which is another reason why a lot of people get hungry or hungrier after they do cardio and things like that. I mean, you might want to explain that, because that's
a
lot of sense.
This is a fundamental point that no one really pays attention to. And this is why dieting is a challenge. Like, no matter who the person is, dieting feels like a challenge, because your hunger and satiety system, so the reason you feel hungry and then the reason you feel satisfied after you've eaten, is more or less calibrated to energy balance. So if you're, you know, for Brad and I, our metabolic rates are probably guessing somewhere around 1900, 2000 a day. And then if we add in a 300-400 calories worth of intense working out, that puts our total daily energy expenditure to, let's say, 2300 calories. So our hunger and satiety, like our feeling to eat and then our feeling of like, okay, we've had enough, will more or less land us right around 2300 calories on any given day that we've done that much working out. So we'll more or less feel driven to eat to about that many calories within reason. Now, if we just do a lot more exercising, we're going to more or less feel hungry and want to eat more. So if we exercise our way up to 2800 calories, we're going to feel like eating about 2800 calories. That's just how we're built. If we don't do any exercising, then we'll just feel like eating around 1900 calories. So that's more, and then same with you. So whatever your base need is, that's about how many calories your body's going to kind of want you to eat that day. So to go below it automatically feels off. It feels like a challenge. It feels like almost like there's something wrong. It doesn't feel quite right to be below it, because you're kind of left all day with that, oh, I still feel like I should eat a bit more. And that's totally normal. Everybody ever who's ever dieted has felt that. So it's almost like how you know that you're actually on your way to losing weight is because you're kind of always slightly hungry. And it's not dangerous or anything like that. It's just for the few weeks that you need to do it, you know, let's say it takes two or three months to get rid of the weight you want to get rid of. That's the feeling you have to deal with. And we're not going to lie to you. That's just how it works. There's no such thing as of losing weight without feeling that way. I don't know if that's a harsh reality, but that's the reality of it. And the quicker and more weight you want to lose, the more of that feeling you have to deal with. So our philosophy is just get rid of the weight as fast as possible, so you don't have to deal with that feeling for the next 6 months, but maybe only the next 3 months or 4 months. Or, and then every now and then you come out of it and you eat to maintenance, like eat up to what you need for a few days just to get rid of that feeling, and then you can go back into a deficit. But in general, that's just the feeling. And it does feel, it is, quote, a challenge. It's all in your head, too. It's a psychological, mental challenge. It's not like physically anything goes wrong. It's just when you're not busy doing something, when you're not actively in the middle of working or dealing with somebody or your workout, and when you're just left by yourself in your head, you're like, oh, I feel like eating. You're like, oh yeah, I know, I'm done eating for the day. And that's just the little kind of struggle that goes on the whole time. And that's completely normal. There's nothing wrong with you if you have that feeling. That actually means you're in a deficit.
Right. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about it at the gym a while ago, how easy it would be. Like, just follow me for a second. Let's talk about how easy it would be for you to gain 50 pounds in a year. Okay? If you just do the math, and we're just talking about pure fat. We're not even going to talk about, like the inflammation and the water that you would hold as you increase. We're just talking about the fat. I mean, you probably might even gain, if you were to do this, you might even gain 60 or 70 pounds. Right? I mean, would you think that would probably, if you gained 50 pounds of pure fat, how much would you guess that you could, that you would hold in inflammation?
Well, the process of gaining it, you may end up, if it was 50 pounds of fat, you may end up with another 10, 20 pounds of holding water too, and just inflammation.
So this is an example of how good your body is of just kind of naturally maintaining that homeostasis or that homeostatic thing he was talking about. Like, that's a bigger word than I know. But if you overate, if you just averaged overeating by 500 calories a day for a year, just 500 calories, we're not talking about eating 5,000 calories a day, but just 500 calories a day, that'd be 3,500 calories a week. That's a pound. 52 weeks, that'd be 52 pounds right there. That's just 500 calories.
You know how easy it is to overeat 500 calories? That's like, yeah, that's like one muffin with some butter on it. Above BMR, above energy expenditure.
Right.
Like, you could do that without even thinking.
Yeah. So, I mean, but nobody is really doing that. Most people, when they gain weight, they might gain at a clip of 10 to 20 pounds a year.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know my theory on how that happens.
Yeah, sure. Well, go ahead and explain it.
Okay, my theory is that in general, even people who are really overweight, it's not like they're constantly gaining. That at some point in their lives, they have moments of overeating or stretches of days where they overeat, but most other days they're just eating at energy expenditure. So however much they burn, that's all they eat. And so what I think is in our typical modern Western societies that have various holidays and various occasions that involve celebratory overeating. So, like, you know, in North America, we've got Christmas and New Year's and Thanksgiving and all of those things, long weekends in the summer, weddings, just going out with somebody on the weekend, your significant other, just going out with some friends and having some drinks and dinner. Like, we celebrate with food. Like, all humans celebrate with food. And listen to me, I'm referring to people as humans, like, such a scientist way of saying it, right? But anyways, so we celebrate with food, and that's normal. Food's fun, right? So, and it's easy to get caught up and eat more at those occasions. If you just overate just at those various occasions, you could easily gain 10, 15 pounds a year just from overeating 1,000 calories at Christmas, maybe 1,000 calories at Thanksgiving, you know. Once a week you go out for dinner and overdo it by 500, 600, 700 calories. If you just do that throughout the year, but you never have the opposite compensatory under-eating day to offset those days, there's your 10, 15 pounds a year. And then, you know, not even 5 or 6 pounds a year. And then 8, 9 years later, you're like, how the hell did I gain 25, 30 pounds? And then, you know, you're like, I don't feel like I eat bad. And it's, you know, yeah, sure, on the holidays I overeat a little bit, but so does everybody. And then that's also why everybody just gains. And it's much easier to overeat 1,000 calories in a day. It's almost impossible to actually underdo by 1,000 calories without really thinking about it. That's really hard to do. So a realistic deficit's probably 500-600 calories. That's including cutting a bit and doing a bit of exercise. And that doesn't feel horrible. Like, that feels manageable. But if you have, like, one really good overeat day, like, you know, you overdo it by a good 1,500 calories, which is completely feasible on, like, at a wedding or even at a cookout or at like, a
tailgating.
Oh, yeah, tailgating, a Thanksgiving dinner, any of those sort of things, just out with some friends and having too many glasses of wine. Like, it's easy to overdo it by 1,500 calories. The way I view it is, like, if you go over by 1,500, it's probably going to take you 3 days of dieting to offset that. Now, that's just to get back to where you were before that day.
Yeah, that's not to go down.
That's not just to go down. So let's say this Saturday we all go out and we have a big party and we all overeat by 1,500 calories. And then the next 3 days in a row, we underdo it by 500. Like we purposely create a deficit of 500. And that's with a bit of exercise and a bit of cutting calories. And that even that's a challenge, right? That feels like work. Like even 500 calories below feels like you're working at it. You know, if we overeat on Saturday, that takes Sunday, Monday, Tuesday of dieting just to get back to where we were Saturday morning. And then by Wednesday, if we do another day of undereating, we could at least start to lose weight compared to where we were Saturday morning. So that's quickly how the numbers add up that you're like, oh my God. Like if you overeat for a month, it takes 3 months to take that off. Yeah, and that's just to get back to normal. And then from there, you'd need to do another month of dieting just to start coming down. So that's why people view this as like literally impossible.
Yeah. And that's just the social aspect of just events. We haven't even talked about, let's say if you've got a significant other, like a lot of times you'll see on commercials. Like I think even with Slim Quick, the lady was talking about how her husband went on a diet and all of a sudden he's slim, but she's still overweight. I mean, you have to remember, I mean, a lot of women eat the same portion sizes that their men do.
Oh yeah, yeah, they normalize to their spouse's portion. Oh yeah, and I personally can't really sympathize with women because clearly I'm always on the eat bigger side of that equation. Like when I go out with anybody who's got a smaller appetite than me, I always just end up eating more of their food. Like we'll split an entree, and I'll eat more than half. Like right. If I'm with a girl, she's definitely eating less than I'm eating because like. And I still make the mistake. Like I'll cut the food right in half, and she's like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Take more of that. Like why are you cutting that in half?" I'm like, "Oh yeah, I guess you don't actually want to eat as much as me, but yeah. I just feel like it's fair to cut all the food in half." And she's looking back at me, going, "I'm going to eat a third of this, and you're going to eat two thirds of this because I'm just so that much smaller than you." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I don't think about it." And then I'm sure there's some social fairness to it that you just eat. You know, it's fair. Everyone gets served the same amount. Everyone eats the same amount. Like for Bob's another guy a friend of mine I'm working with and he's lost 65 pounds now. So when we go out, I eat half of his food too. Like it helps him out literally because he's trying to cut. So,
yeah. So he still gets to be social and he doesn't have that food just sitting there in front of him.
Mm-hmm. Well, he owns a bunch of pubs that we go and eat at and he'll get the chef to cook us up something special. And when they serve it, we always share it, but I always take more than half. And he's glad that I take more than half because I'm not actively trying to cut the way he is. So it helps him out if I eat more of what's been served. And we just share it anyways. So yeah, there's definitely an issue there when it comes to social eating, that's for sure.
Yeah, you definitely have to think about it. I mean, if you're a woman sitting there, let's say you're 5'6", and the guy you're married to, your boyfriend or whatever, let's say he's 5'11". I mean, you're probably looking at a good 500 calorie difference in just base metabolism rate, right?
Including how much more energy he can burn in a workout just because his body's so much bigger.
Right. So there's your 500 calories right there a day. That's how you could gain just by eating the same thing he does at every meal, the exact same thing. If he's at maintenance, you gain 50 pounds this year.
Yeah, if you just match what he's eating and he won't gain anything.
Yep, exactly.
So that's a different trick. And it almost sounds like it's unfair, but it's just the way it is. I mean, I've got friends who are bigger eaters who can eat more than me and not gain just because their metabolic rate's slightly different than mine. And that's just what it is. There's nothing I can do about it. That's another thing. Yeah. Never compare yourself to some. Just because somebody else can eat more than you, that doesn't mean you should. It just means they can, you can't.
Well, here's the other thing I don't think a lot of people understand, too, is that what you see people eat might not necessarily be what they eat for the entire day. There are a lot of assumptions get made. We talk about this in like covert nutrition, which is something you guys haven't been able to see yet. But basically, just because you see somebody like gorging or what looks like gorging at one meal, you never know. That might be the only meal they eat that day.
Mm-hmm. People say that a lot. They're like, oh, I eat with that person. They eat a lot. I'm like, at the one meal you saw. Everyone has secretive meals. Everyone has a secret way of eating that even their spouse doesn't know about. Because by definition, you do it like the way you eat when you're alone, no one will ever know. And unless you're 100% keep no secrets from anybody, and you know you do, nobody discloses all of their eating habits. We all do something embarrassing. Like we all eat we all have those moments where we eat something, we're like, man, I'm glad no one's watching this right now. Just because it's just we do. Like, everyone's got a quirk with food like that. And it's totally private. It's totally normal. And no matter how weird you think some of your eating habits are, everyone else has one just as weird. And it's just, there's a private thing. We all have a section of the way we eat that no one knows about. And that's why no one, you can't study it. No scientist will ever know. There's a private part of food that no one knows about. And it's just, we're just guessing our way through it.
So here's the easy way for everybody around you to accuse you of having a fast metabolism. All you need to do is, however you're eating now, like this, like, because generally what a lot of people will do is they'll kind of hide. Like, when they're around people, they won't eat as much because they don't want to look like a glutton or whatever. Like, especially if they're carrying some extra weight, they just don't want to show that. But then, you know, when they're at home, just like you were talking about, I mean, when nobody's around, you tend to eat more because nobody can see. It's kind of like the secret. Just flip-flop that.
Yeah, don't eat much when you're by yourself, and then when people are around, you eat more. Oh, I've Allie, one of the girls I'm working with Venus, and you guys will see her pictures. She does that. Like, she does some eat stop eating, but not like strictly. She just knows to keep her calories in control, and she picks and chooses when she wants to eat. And she doesn't really have a problem not eating much during the day. And then she's like, oh, if I'm going to go out with friends tonight, I'll save up my calories and be able to eat big. Like, I'll be able to eat all 1,200 calories today at dinner. And so that means she doesn't have to cut herself off from appetizers or the entree or the dessert, because she can do all of that at once and still hit her calorie total for the day. And so just during the day, she might just have a coffee and an apple and just be like, you know, no big deal. I'll just wait till tonight. And then they all accuse her of being having a fat – accuse, like literally attack her and for having, you know, a fast metabolism and throwing it in their faces. And just like it's – she gets like a bit – some – slings and arrows because of it, and she's like, I don't understand what you guys are talking about. I haven't eaten all day. Like, I've planned to be able to eat big now, and they don't get that. And so I don't know, it actually bothers some of the people she's with, because they're struggling with weight, and they kind of, and since she's actually made a change and lost weight, I don't know, they feel like she's kind of flaunting it or something. And she's like, no, I've spent all day not eating purposely so I can enjoy this time, and now you guys are, you know, attacking me for it. So that's part of what covert's all about. It's kind of like it's tricky, because food is so, and the way people eat and body image and all of that is so, it touches people at such a level that it's hard for them to even see somebody else. Like, people have a hard time dealing with success, other people's success.
Well, I mean, like, literally, I'll say this time and time again, the hardest thing about dieting and getting in better shape is the persecution that goes along with it. I mean, everywhere you turn, somebody's going to say, oh, that doesn't sound healthy or whatever. And it's like, to me, it's just better not to say anything. Just do what you do, and don't let anybody know what's going on. Like, for instance, I mean, you're going to live your life, and you're going to have events and things like that you want to go to, and you just don't want to deal with the fact of telling somebody that, yeah, you know, I can't eat that. I'm on a diet right now. I mean, you just don't, because, you know, one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to try to peer pressure you to eat it, or they're just going to kind of look at you weird, or it's just going to feel weird, or you're just going to give in because...
Well, they'll peer pressure you to eat it, or they'll say you're obsessive compulsive about getting in shape and it's not worth the effort, or they'll just say you look fine the way you are and there's no reason. Yeah, I mean, nothing you do will be good enough if the other person isn't 100% on board and also actively trying to lose weight. That's the problem. Because it's usually them feeling insecure about themselves. It has nothing to do with you. Most people feel insecure around somebody else who's actually making an active change in their body.
Right.
It's rare to find people who just organically, just like, man, good for you. It's, you know, I'm 100% on board. Almost everyone will take a little snide dig.
Yeah. I mean, you know what your life is about. This is why this kind of approach is so powerful. I mean, like, for instance, let's look at my life, just kind of generally how I roll. Like, when I was cutting down, like, nobody knew I was cutting down, like, from the activities I was doing. I mean, the only person that even would come close to knowing would be Elle, and that's just because she lives with me. But it wasn't because, you know, I was acting any different. It was mainly just because I go to the gym, and she knows I go to the gym. Like, every night we have dinner. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, change my eating habits around her and eat less and things like that at dinner time, because that's kind of our time. But during the day, I don't eat that much. I work a lot.
So it was basically hidden to her. More, not hidden, but just wasn't in her face.
Right. So it's the same thing with supplementation. We talk about this on the guys' side some, but, you know, we'll talk about supplementation with you guys as well. But, like, I take creatine and, you know, every once in a while, like, you know, multivitamins and stuff like that. But she never sees that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't, like, I put it this way. Anytime she's ever seen me take a scoop of creatine and put it in my mouth, I always get a funny look.
Yeah, it's actually more worth your, it's worth your effort to just do it when she's not around than deal with that.
Right. I mean, and she knows. She gets it. But it's still like the funny look. It's like that you're trying too hard kind of a thing. Like mm-hmm. nobody ever really wants to know how hard you work. They want to act like it's magic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that's kind of what you have to show people, that there's this magic thing that you're doing. Like, I guess. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because then it takes them off the hook for not being able to do it.
Yeah, it's like the illusion. You have to craft this illusion of what's going on in your life. What's going on above water isn't what's going on below water. It's kind of like a duck swimming. Like,
they're just gliding along on top. They don't realize how much work their feet are doing.
Exactly. The little sexy duck is just kind of cruising along, and you're like, oh, it's effortless. And then underneath, he's wearing it out.
Yeah. I hear you.
But that's kind of what it's like. I mean, that's the type of challenge. I mean, all of this stuff, it's social. It's really, most of it is social. Actually, 95% of it is social when it comes to, I would say.
When it comes to trying to lose weight, oh yeah. I mean, we can give you a million techniques, but all of them just revolve around finding a way to eat less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, they're all, and some of them are necessary, right? Like some of the stuff we just said, like, you know, hiding it from, not hiding is a bad word, selecting who you're going to let in on it and selecting who you just as soon conveniently not let in on it, because some people just won't be supportive. I have two buddies who are overweight, and the one who I've just mentioned who's now actively losing a lot of weight used to kind of pull back or really take the legs out from under this other guy who was losing weight. And I think it was just because he was insecure about the fact that guy was making progress and he wasn't. And the other guy would confide in me. He's like, man, it really kills me when I'm around that guy because I feel like I'm doing well, and then he just makes me feel stupid. So and he's that sensitive because it is a challenge. It's a daily challenge. So if people are sort of attacking you or just not making it any easier, then it's already difficult. You don't need anyone making it even more difficult. And some people will do that.
Well, one of the ways people kind of like put off a goal or something, like for instance, like if I was to pull up in a Ferrari and say, hey, I'll give you this Ferrari, do you want it? You would probably say, oh yeah, hell yeah, give me that Ferrari, right? But if I was going to say, you know, this Ferrari costs $150,000, you know, chances are you would say something like, you know what, who needs a Ferrari? You know, they're really not that cool anyway. You know, they're only for rich, you know, pompous assholes.
Yeah.
So basically what you do is you basically kind of discredit or in your mind make that thing less important, which is what happens a lot of times for people that aren't getting results or other people are getting results around. They basically just kind of discredit what the end goal is. Like, ah, you know what, man, I'm just not willing to live my life that way to get that result. It's just, you know, that just must – he must feel like crap all the time. You know what? I'm happy being like this. You know, I'm a happy person. Mm-hmm. That, you know, that kind of thing where you basically just take that, and people do it all the time.
No, they just rationalize their situation.
Yeah, you rationalize it down to make yourself feel good about where you're at.
But the problem is, if you're right next to them making a change and they've already rationalized why they're not going to make that change, it's in their interest to also knock you down.
Yes, crabs in a bucket.
Yep, they're going to pull you down. So we kind of strayed from our initial topic, I guess, a little bit. But anyways, it was necessary, though.
I was going to say, get used to it.
Yeah, that's kind of how these things go. But I think hopefully we at least answer the question at hand. So I guess to wrap it up, cardio is just a form of manipulating the calories in, calories out equation, but it's not really that good at it. So if you like doing it, by all means, do it for stress relief, for just general health. If you do any kind of activity, is always better than not. So I'm never going to say no. And you can't really overdo it. You'll find how it fits. Like some people have been asking, can I keep up running with VI? I mean, it was tested on girls that run. So you should be able to maintain a running schedule and do the workouts. And you'll find, like, where it lands, you know, where the balance is. But as far as weight loss, it's far superior to find a way to eat less than it is to ever try to out-exercise your diet. That's just impossible to out-exercise a bad diet. And by bad, I don't mean bad foods. I just mean too much food.
Yeah, I mean, you won't even come close.
It's essentially impossible.
Yeah, you would have to keep your energy up all day, and nobody does, mm-hmm. I don't think. I mean, most of us kind of will have a lull or maybe sleep 30 minutes longer or whatever after a really tough workout. So you almost have to use, like, from my perspective, and then we'll just kind of sign off. I view exercise as a way to increase my specific performance and for overall health benefits. I view that somehow, some way, that the exercise I just did is basically null and void. It's a zero sum game. Somehow, some way, my body is going to compensate and take away some activity somewhere in the day or in the week or whatever. It's just a zero sum game.
For weight loss, for calories, yeah.
Right, for calories, that part of the equation. Either I'm going to overeat somewhere or, you know, I'm going to be tired. Like, I'm tired today.
I'll add to that, I like that thought, because if you keep that as your baseline thought, that it's really not going to affect it, and then structure your eating assuming that, then you can almost view it as it's going to be a bonus, but never count on it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's like, you know, getting a surprise bonus at work or something like that, or getting, you know, a Christmas bonus. I mean, it's something that, you know, you may use for presents, but you don't necessarily count on, you don't necessarily budget it to pay the bills.
Mm-hmm. And the reason we're saying this is because when you actually put it into practice, clearly doing something burns more calories than sitting doing nothing. So clearly that happens. But just as strong of an effect is the psychological effect that, oh, now I can eat a bit more. Oh, now there's just so many things that go along with it that you're almost tricking yourself, assuming that it can have a weight loss effect on its own. So it's almost safer just to assume that all that exercise didn't do anything.
Sure. Oh yeah. You could gain 10 to 20 pounds a year, just by exercising.
Yeah, because it'll just stimulate you to eat more.
Right, and you give yourself permission to eat more, so then you eat, you know, your extra 200 calories a day for 50. There you go. There's your 20 pounds.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, the psychology, I guess what we're trying, I guess the bottom line is we're trying to reframe the way you think about how cardio affects weight loss.
Sure, yeah. Exercise, like our perspective is exercise is specifically for performance and shaping. You know, either it shapes your muscles or it improves your basic performance. That's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. Or if you just like it for the community and the way it's stress relief, any of those things, those all could be part of performance.
Yeah, exactly. Like your general performance. But as far as the amount of fat that's on you, just view it as a wash.
Mm-hmm. And then that puts you way further ahead in the game.
Yeah, it will never, ever, ever have the effect of you controlling what goes in your mouth, mm-hmm. ever. Won't even come close. So, all right, you got anything to close on? It sounds good to me.
No, that's a good first start, I guess.
Yeah, all right. Well, like I say, this is the first installment of the Venus to Next podcast, and we will check you later. I'm Brad Howard, and for John Barbin, we'll see you later.